Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your co-hosts Matthew Davis and Matt Kupferle.
Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Matthew Davis and I'm going to be joined with my co-hosts Matt Kupferle and Brock Miller. And today is Wednesday, July 28th, and we will be discussing news and notes, and then we're going to be getting into the impact of innings pitched for the remainder of the season. Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm awesome. I'm excited to, again, be recording our podcast with a cup of coffee. I dig doing that. I can kind of watch the sunrise outside the window and talk baseball with my homies, so I'm a happy guy.
I'm good. Ready to go. Excited about some of these trade deadline trains. We called a couple of those last week, so that was kind of fun, and excited about today's podcast. Let's go.
That was a fun podcast. We got a lot of positive news and interaction with that, so that was cool to see. Let's start with Luis Robert, and he is now rehabbing in AAA, so we don't have an expected return time to the Chicago White Sox yet, but my assumption would be possibly come next week. Brock, do you have any sense of when Luis Robert is going to be in the White Sox lineup?
I don't. I'd have to look it up. I would say I would just recommend look and see what exactly they did with Eloy Jimenez, because I would imagine that it's going to be the same thing with Luis Robert. These guys physically will be recovered. I just wonder how much time they gave them in AAA to kind of try and get their timing back. So I would say it's probably going to be close to the same thing they did with Eloy.
Okay. Matt, do you have anything to add with Robert? Are you ready to move on?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So then we also saw a trade with the San Diego Padres and Pittsburgh Pirates, and that was Adam Frazier heading to the Padres, and a lot of people on Twitter, some thought Eric Hosmer was going to lose time. Some were thinking players in the outfield like Tommy Pham, Trent Grisham. Some were thinking Jake Cronenworth. So now that we see Adam Frazier in the San Diego Padres lineup, he made his debut. He was hitting leadoff for them. But Jake Cronenworth, it doesn't look like he's going to be losing time. He can play first base or second base. And the manager for the Padres mentioned that Adam Frazier would get his burn at second base and in the outfield. So what is your outlook, Matt, moving forward with the San Diego Padres offense? And who loses some of that PT? Because somebody has to.
Yeah, it seems like the rumors are swirling around Hosmer going away, whether that's contract-related or whatever you have. So, obviously, I think he's in a little bit of trouble. It's interesting that Frazier was thrown right into the lineup last night batting leadoff. So, I think they're going to potentially play him in a super utility role. They just don't seem either Kim is just not ready, or they just don't see him as a fit. I think they're going to find a way to get Cronenworth at-bats. He's been, obviously, a great find, and Frazier's been great as well. So I think those two are in a great spot. I think we see Hosmer on the move soon. And I assume it's just kind of more of a status quo that, you know, maybe Kim fills in here and there, but he definitely has been the odd man out, and I think will continue to be the odd man out.
Yeah. So for me, for Hosmer, I'm with Matt. I think he's on the way out. Prellers always found a way to get these things done. You know, when they needed starting pitching this last offseason, and it didn't look like anybody was going to be out there, He found a way to add two aces. I think Proler's going to find a way to get Hosmer out of there. Hosmer, you know, has gone back to hitting ground balls. In all of his interviews, he talks about how he doesn't really care about trying to hit the ball in the air again, and which doesn't really kind of go with that team. He's not a good base runner. He's played really bad defense over there, which is kind of funny given his reputation as being a good defender. So I think they're going to find a way to get him out of there. You know, like you said, there's no way that Cronenworth's coming out of that lineup there. And, you know, they didn't go through all of that to grab Frazier and put him on the bench. So I think he's going to play quite a bit.
I think there's one potential landing spot, and that could be with the Boston Red Sox. They have had a carousel at first base this year. And on top of that, they aren't getting any walks from that position. If it's Michael Chavis, if it's Franchy Cordero, if it's who's the other guy, Bobby Dalbec, nobody, none of these guys, they're all their on base percentages are around 250. So maybe Eric Hosmer, the team could pick up the remainder of that contract. And I'm sure San Diego would be willing to eat some of it. And, you know, maybe there's a fresh, you know, look on life with Eric Hosmer, and he's able to get a little bit more lift on the ball again, like we saw a little bit from last year. But it's interesting to see what will happen with that, and especially even with the Red Sox at first base. I think that they could use an upgrade there for sure.
Well, it's kind of, I know we don't want to talk too much about these kinds of notes, but it's kind of funny. If Hosmer goes to Boston, I think he's a drop. If he goes to the Yankees, which is another potential landing spot, then I think he's probably worth an add, because for left-handed batters, those two ballparks couldn't be more different. You know, Boston's pretty tough on left-handers there. And then, of course, Yankee Stadium, the short porch and right field, very, very different deals there, right?
Yeah, good point. Trey Turner was removed from last night's game, and it sounds like it was from COVID. Is that correct, Brock?
Yes.
All right. And so we now have Christian Yelich and Trey Turner as the most recent superstars to land on that list. So it sounds and seems like we are going to continue having that occur throughout the rest of the season. So if it's a fringe player, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to just cut them and move on and try and add back when they're back up. And then if it's somebody like Trey Turner, it's just dead weight for now, unfortunately. So let's move on to innings pitched and what we're seeing throughout the league. So you guys put together, both of you guys put together an interesting doc here, and it has a lot of players and teams mentioned. It has some concerns with pitchers. I know the big one that's circling the league and talk around the industry right now in the fantasy community is Freddie Peralta. We saw him get yanked after four innings pitched. We know that the Brewers had talked about only giving these guys 100 innings pitched extra in regards to Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burnes, and Brandon Woodruff. And I know that Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burnes aren't in this nearly, you know, close to the innings pitch with Freddie Peralta. So they've already started to scale back Freddie Peralta. So that's basically what we're going to be getting into here today. Brock, I'm going to hand it over to you and let you dive in, starting with the Houston Astros.
I want to start by saying I'm glad that I'm going to be asking you guys these questions, because these are not going to be easy questions to answer here, what we should do about this. And, you know, touching a little bit on what you just had mentioned with Freddie Peralta being piggybacked there by the Brewers, you know, the Tigers have been doing the same thing with Casey Mize for about 2 weeks now. I think he's three starts in and only throwing four innings pitched. The very first start that Casey Mize went out there and threw four innings, I looked it up. I was like, what the heck's going on here? And I saw the news that they were doing that on purpose. They're limiting his innings that way. And I dropped Casey Mize. So we're going to have to ask this question here for some of these other guys. You know, Casey Mize, just not that dominant. You know, some of these other guys are like leading the league in ERA and stuff like that. And so it's going to be a little bit tougher question. I dropped Mize, but maybe it'll be a different answer for some of these other guys. So, like you said, let's start off with the Astros. I think they're a really interesting situation. They've got some really talented pitchers that are approaching career highs in innings. You know, just for the sake of this, I was kind of keeping it in the back of my mind. You know, we've got 2 months of baseball season left here, August and September. And if you think about those in terms of, you know, a starting pitcher throwing 180 innings, you know, so 180 innings over the course of a full season, 6 months is about 30 innings per month. So if you take a look at these numbers and then assume that nothing crazy happens, they don't go out there and throw a bunch of complete games, nor do they go on the injured list. If we just kind of, you know, take a look at everything going as normal, you know, think of these in terms of, okay, can they pitch 60 more innings? And if they're not going to be able to get close to pitching 60 more innings, then that's probably a situation where you're going to see somebody limited. That's the math that I was doing in my head when I was compiling this list yesterday and the day before. So the Houston Astros, Luis Garcia has been, he's been great. He's really been fantastic this year. He was on his way to another great start the other night there in Seattle when he got blown up there facing his last batter of the evening, gave up a 3-run home run to Kyle Seager, I believe. He's at 96 innings pitched so far this season, and I'm rounding. I'm not going to say 96.1 or 96 and a third. So 96 innings pitched for Luis Garcia. He did throw 118 innings in the minor leagues for the Astros. That would have been in 2019. Last season, he was limited a little bit there. And they've also got to look at Framber. Framber Valdez is at 73 innings pitched. He's only thrown 114 innings in 19. He's a little bit less of a risk. He did throw 140 innings pitched in 2018 there. So I'm a little less worried about Framber there. But the one that I want to point out here is they took Christian Javier out of the starting rotation early in the season there and put him in the bullpen. And I was thinking that that's probably just to limit his innings so that maybe when these other guys are slowing down a little bit, then they can move Javier back into the rotation. So what do you guys think about the Astros situation here with these two guys? Do you think they limit these two guys? Do you think Javier is the guy to make the replacement? Are we interested in Javier? Cupferly, let's go with you first. Where are you at on the Astros?
So the biggest problem I think that the Astros have, Brock, is they're not the Dodgers or some of these other teams where they have this incredible depth that they can draw from. You know, I think that they've got obviously the offense is one of the league's best. I think they've got, you know, quite a bit of talent. But, you know, we look at some of these teams and maybe what we thought the Astros were going to be. And maybe none of us saw, you know, a guy like Luis Garcia, who I know, Brock, you haven't mentioned on your list. He's been a godsend, right, to that rotation so far this season. But what I get concerned about is, you know, they have a really good a really good athletics team right behind them. And I think that the challenge that they're going to have is I don't think they can manage this thing where they're going to be allowed to give them a break. I think you're right. The innings jump is concerning. I think that's one thing the three of us highlighted as we got ready for the season with a variety of different arms. I just don't know that they can afford to do that and win the division. I think these teams are trying to stay out of the one-game playoff. If you remember, last year with the shortened season, we had the expanded 8-team playoffs for each league. That's back down to the original scenario, which is 5 teams this year with a 1-game playoff. I think everybody's going to do everything they can to avoid the 1-game play-in, and I just don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't see the depth in the organization, unless they make a trade, of who they're going to have replace these innings and keep them in first place at the AL West.
Yep. I think a trade could be coming. And on top of that, Jose Urquidy, he's thrown off flat ground for his second time. He said he felt very good. I feel great. I'm happy for that. Yep. And so he's working his way back. He's working his way back as well. In regards to Christian Javier, unfortunately, in the NFBC market, he's 78% owned in the RotoWire Online Championship, and he's already above 90% owned in the main event. So those types of leagues have already, you know, the Sharks have already jumped in on Christian Javier, potentially looking at those trends. And then if not, on top of that, just the ratios and everything that he's been doing of late has been really good. So what knocked him out of the rotation earlier in the season, he was having really bad command and control issues. The walks were just, they were egregious to say the least. You know, he had a maximum of 6 and multiple games with 4 walks. And so since July 3rd, in the month of July, he's only had 3 walks, and the strikeouts are continuing to climb for this kid. So I do like him, but unfortunately in the NFBC, he does have a good amount of ownership. Do either of you guys have any concerns with Lance McCullers? I know that he has gone 128 in a season, but we do know that he has had injury concerns in the past. Do you think that that could crop up as well? So it sounds like there are some concerns maybe moving forward for the rest of the season as a whole with this Houston Astros starting rotation. Yeah. However, we do know that they have the brass, to put it lightly, to get another piece or two in this rotation. The problem is if we do see Luis Garcia to only go 4 or 5 innings, you're potentially losing that precious win. And I think that's going to be a big factor when we're talking about a lot of these guys, is the win category is just, it's a dying breed right now in this season with the sticky substance, pitchers getting knocked out. It feels like I'm tweeting out terrible outings each and every night, and nobody's getting it right. So it makes it extremely difficult. And I think that we could see some of that crop up here with all of these, you know, players or teams that we're mentioning.
So Maddie, that's a great point that I hadn't thought about. I mean, McCullers' career innings high as a professional is 125 innings. He's at 97 and two thirds now. I think they're really cautious with him because you were a guy that was big on him in the preseason. He's been brilliant this year with that almost 55% ground ball rate. But I just don't know. I think they're probably struggling internally with the same dialogue that I mentioned earlier. What do you do with McCullers? They don't have, well, that I know of, they don't have a plan that Justin Verlander is coming back and going to be able to give him 75 innings. Zach Greinke is finally looks like he's fading into the sunset a little bit with some major regression in his numbers. So I'm with you. I think that is a massive concern for them. He's been absolutely unequivocally the staff ace, and maybe Luis Garcia says, hey guys, look at me too. But this rotation is chock full of question marks going down the stretch. I think you're right. I think they got to make a move to supplement or shore up what's going to go on here, especially if, and heaven forbid, one of these guys does go down. But if one of them does, that just highlights probably the lack of depth that they currently have right now in that rotation.
Yeah, I kind of like the Astros, what they've got there. You know, like you said, Greinke's fading off a little bit, but he's not useless there. And as far as McCullers goes, like you mentioned, 128 innings pitched in 2018, and then 118, the season before that, back to 2015, 125. McCullers, I feel like it is going to be a career high in innings. I don't see there's any way around that for sure. But I think they'll be able to keep it a reasonable measure. I'm trying to recall that article from Tom Verducci from back in the day where they really started to nail down these increases in innings pitched year on year for younger pitchers. And I believe they saw the cutoff was at like 30%. If you increased a pitcher's innings by more than 30% from one year to the next, that's when that was kind of the danger when you started to approach the danger zone there. So 130 innings pitched for Lance McCullers, 13 times three, so 40 more innings on top of 130. That puts him at 170 innings pitched, and he's at 97. So that gives him 70 more. Maybe that kind of gets him through close to the end of the season. Maybe they tail him off a little bit because, they've got to remember this is a team going to the playoffs. So these guys are going to have some bullets left in the tank for or bullets left in the chamber for October. So, yeah, Houston's definitely an interesting situation there. We've got a couple other teams that have some significant situations on their hands. The Marlins, even Pablo Lopez is kind of, he's at 101 innings pitched. His career high is 111 in 2019. Like Pablo is, I know he's on the injured list right now, and maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's getting his innings limited that way a little bit. I could see, by the way.
That rotator cuff injury is real.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't read about that.
No. Yeah. And real quick, sorry to cut you off, but I just want to put the whole grand landscape of things here with the Marlins. It's completely 180 from the Astros. So any of these young guys that are going to be mentioned, this organization is not going to be pushing them like the Astros might, because the Astros have championship. That's what they have their eyes on, the prize. And where the Marlins, they're just simply going to try and protect any of these guys. Looking at roster resource right now, they have three guys in their rotation: Sandy Alcantara, Jordan Holloway, and Zach Thompson. So they're missing a lot of their pieces as well, and they're not going to rush any of those guys back. So Eliezer Hernandez, they're not going to rush him back. Pablo Lopez, they're not going to rush him back. Trevor Rogers with the back spasms, that's one of those things where I'm like, okay, he's young. Maybe that's a little, they're playing a little Dodgeritis there with Trevor Rogers. And then when he comes back, I'm assuming they're going to want to limit his innings as well. So I just think with this team, it's going to really suck when you start to see some of these guys tail off, because the team has no aspirations in regards to pushing them or getting a little more juice with their squeeze this year.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. It is a different situation. That's a great point there. And with Rogers, 106 innings pitched, he's been great this year. If you drafted him, you've already cashed out, 3X. You've made 3X, 4X on whatever your draft day investment was on Rogers. He is paid off handsomely. 136 innings pitched for him in 2019. So a little bit of an increase on 136 innings pitched. I mean, you know, maybe he's got 50 innings to go this season since he's at 106, you know. So if they hold him out another start or two, I'm kind of with you. He sounds like a Dodgeritis kind of an injury there. But, you know, Pablo, like you mentioned, they've already got a lot of injuries there. And so Edwin Cabrera is just a name I wanted to throw out there, somebody that Eno Saris had me drafting in Draft Champions, you know, just throwing a 45th, 47th round pick on him just in case he came up for a few starts at the end of the year. You know, somebody who's got some great stuff and he's been pitching in AAA. He's kind of struggled. He's walked a ton of guys. So, you know, maybe it's not a thing. Maybe he's not even a part of that. But Matt, do you got anything to add on the Marlins? I feel like it is kind of straightforward what it is with those guys, a lot of injuries and stuff there. You know, the next team we've got here is another situation like the Astros. So I definitely want to spend a decent amount of time on them. Do you want to add anything on the Marlins?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Let's talk about the Brewers then. And you'll go first here. Let me set this up with, you know, Corbin Burnes, 102 innings pitched this year. His previous career high is 20. 60. That was crazy.
I was going to say, innings. Whoa.
And his 60 innings pitched, his career high in innings pitched, came in 2020. You know, that's one thing we're talking about with all these guys that were kind of ramping them back up from last year's shortened season. You know, maybe they pitched a decent amount in 2019 and got skipped over, you know, 2020, obviously shortened season. His career high. And this isn't just, you know, a pitcher on our fantasy teams. This is the National League leader in ERA. And, man, what are the Brewers going to do about him? And kind of similar situation with Brandon Woodruff. He's a little bit less worrisome, although he has – Woodruff's thrown 126 innings pitched already, whereas, you know, Burnes is at 102. You know, Woodruff has been kind of a horse there. And then, of course, at the end we can talk about Freddie Peralta as well. Who's already been a little bit limited. But, Cupperly, let's start with you. Corbin Burnes, 102 innings pitched, and he's only thrown 60 so far. You know, by the parameters that I set earlier, you know, 60 innings pitched at any point there, increasing that by 30%. They've already done that. What are the Brewers going to do with Corbin Burnes?
Yeah, he's probably the one that scares me the most. You know, even as you mentioned, Brock, I think in the preseason, the narrative that Craig Counsell and others had said was the max that they were probably looking to throw any Brewer starters and kind of give some guardrails was adding 100 innings to every arm. Now, with Corbin Burnes, that's actually a pretty massive jump, right? Because the guy primarily worked as a reliever, 38 innings in 2018, 49 innings in 2019, and the 59 and two-thirds that you mentioned in 2020. I am actually pretty nervous about him as a fantasy owner. My reasoning being, for all intents and purposes, I don't know why they wouldn't shut him down. In fact, he was the one that I think if he was healthy in the playoffs last year, that team is frightening as you get into a postseason rotation. Obviously, they're even more frightening adding Freddie Peralta into the mix this year. I think they're going to manage him pretty closely. That's just my estimate on what's going on. He's obviously been unbelievably brilliant this year from a pitching perspective. I just think that they are really going to manage down the stretch. How can we make sure that we have Corbin Burnes at 100% hopefully heading into the playoffs? Again, the tricky part's going to be, are you managing to get into the one game playoff or are you managing to get into the divisional winner? Because that's a very different scenario. Now, the good thing is I don't think anybody else wants to win the NL Central besides the Brewers, so they may coast into that divisional title. But he's the one out of their big three I am the most concerned about due to a lack of track record of any of them.
So yeah. In the NFBC, we're not the problem with that is we're not cutting any of those guys, obviously, and we have to roll them when they're getting rolled out, we're rolling them, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It could suck if we see them add a piece and say, okay, let's go to a six-man rotation. We can keep rolling out Hauser and we can keep rolling out Anderson. And then we're going to give, hypothetically, Freddie Peralta every 6 days, 4 to 5 innings pitched or something like that. And then the same could happen with Burnes. if they're going to add 100 innings to all of these guys, then should we have any concern about Brandon Woodruff? He's already at 126. I mean, he has been an absolute workhorse. And if they are going to add 100 innings pitched, or 100 innings pitched to each of these starters, then why would we have concerns with Woodruff? Because then that's at 226. And he's tied for fourth in the league in innings pitched right now with Zach Greinke at 126. He's been awesome.
Yeah, I think they're going to ride Woodruff. That's a good call there. He's just, I'm not super worried about him, but definitely Freddy Peralta's already getting tapered down there. And, you know, Corbin Burnes, I would not be surprised if he had a case of Dodgeritis sometime soon. You know, I've been kind of thinking this entire season so far, wow, what are the playoffs going to look like? Man, I hope I don't have the Dodgers don't have to face the Brewers, because, you know, facing those first three guys in a short series, especially in that first round, is just going to be it's going to be death. So hopefully they're able to find a way to make it work. I think we can all agree Corbin Burnes is the guy at the most amount of risk there.
Well, along with Freddy Peralta, because we've already seen that scale back.
Yeah, exactly. So
what about in trade leagues, though, real quick? If you have Corbin Burnes, would you look to trade him at an all-time high right now?
Well, you're going to have to gauge how much this idea has gotten out there. I wonder, you know, you're going to have to gauge how many people in your leagues know that he's probably not going to pitch a ton of innings the rest of the way. I mean, 2 months left of the season, and they're really going to have to limit him if they want to, you know, even their self-imposed at 100 innings. You know, I could see Burnes, you know, going out there and just pitching 5 innings to start the rest of the season. That'll keep him underneath that limit and still have a couple innings left for the playoffs maybe. But I think if you read the room and you're going to be able to get a decent price for Corbin Burnes, then absolutely. It's tough. The ratios are great. It's great to have him. And I think you can kind of say answer the same question of Freddy Peralta too. You know, what are you going to do with him? You already know that he's being limited. And like you mentioned, Matty, you know, 4 innings to start there. You're not going to get any wins out of it. It's good ratios, but what do we do with these guys? Oof.
I think Julio Urias might be in that same boat. Do you want to talk about him in the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Yeah. Last one. Urias is really, he's led some pitching attacks for our fantasy baseball rosters. I know that I've got a couple teams out there that I drafted and he ended up on there. And, you know, despite picking him, I don't know, what was he going, 140th overall, 120th overall, somewhere in that range. And he's ended up my best starter on a couple teams, which says more about those teams than it does Urias, but he has been great this year. But
how about this? He has 124 and 2/3 innings pitched. Garrett Cole has 125.
Oof. Wow.
I bet many people wouldn't have known or bet something close to that, right?
Absolutely. That is really something. You know, Garrett Cole, of course, the reputation of being the workhorse there, and he's locked up for $300 million, so the Yankees are just going to, you know, probably try and get every penny out of him that they can. So, and then Julio Urias on the other side of that, just completely different deal. And I hate to be the guy. every time I watch the Dodger game, they bring up his age, and I'm like, yeah, we get it. You guys say this every game, but, you know, so maybe some of you guys are not super familiar. You know, Urias, despite being around for years, is still only 24 years old there. So career high in innings pitched for him, 2019, he threw 81 innings pitched. So he's already blown past that. He's definitely somebody, you know, the Dodgers are, out of all these teams, the Dodgers were, I don't know how to term this. They're kind of one of those teams that if anybody's going to be like limiting their starters, it seems like a very Dodgers thing to do, right? They've done that with Kershaw in the past, with the phantom IL stints and stuff like that. So I think Urias is probably going to be tapered off some. They're going to need him in the playoffs as well. Josiah Gray is already called up. He's already been bid on in most leagues, I think. Matty, do you have the numbers there?
Oh yeah, he was added in every single NFBC main event league last week, and now he has 100% ownership. So Yeah, he was gobbled up everywhere.
Yeah, so if you're still playing in ESPN leagues, he's probably like 20% owned there. So if you want to use anything as an indicator when a guy goes and gets bid on in every single main event league, then that's a good indicator that you want to put him on your short list for your other leagues there. So I like Josiah Gray, but I think the Dodgers, I think they're in the same boat as the Astros. They're going to have to find a way to add somebody. I think those two teams are going to be in the market for Max Scherzer. I'm kind of crossing my fingers. It's been easy to root against Max the last few years there, but all in good fun. I mean, he's just so good. He's so fun to watch, and I kind of mentioned this the other day. You know, Scherzer, his numbers don't quite look like they have in the past. Like, he's getting a little bit older, but that's not true. If you take out that crazy inning in San Diego in which he gave up a grand slam to a random relief pitcher making his major league debut, his ERA, his ERA outside of that inning is like 2.13 or something like that. So very Max Scherzer-esque ERA for Max Scherzer in this, his age 36 season. So he's going to be out there. I think we've covered the bulk of the teams that have the biggest moving pieces as far as limiting these innings are concerned here. I kind of want to go back up to the top of my list and just read off names. Does that sound like a good idea? If I read off a name that you want to mention something about, you know, yell at me. We'll stop on a guy. If not, I mean, we can just kind of close this thing out by mentioning guys that, hey, these guys are probably going to be limited at some point there. Is that sound like a good way to do it?
Yeah, that sounds good. But real quick, one last thing on Julio Urias is the innings pitch you were talking, maybe we want about 30 per month, right? So in August 30, in September 30, so that would give us a total of 60. That would put Julio Urias at 185 innings pitched this year. Mm-hmm. His previous high that you mentioned was 79 or 80 innings. So that would be significant. The Dodgers are going to add a starting pitcher. I can guarantee that. And then when they do, and then when they get Clayton Kershaw back, that's going to stretch the rotation out a little bit to where maybe we see Urias only get 25 innings pitched, you know, each month. So maybe they simmer that back just a little bit. But for the most part, I think that they're going to just kind of let this kid keep rolling. He's healthy right now. And like I said, he's only a third of an innings pitch shy of having the same amount of volume as Gerrit Cole this year. He's been absolutely awesome. But I would assume that they scale it back some way or another. You know, maybe skip a day or something like that.
Yeah. And then, so Matt, following up here, just kind of finishing up Dodgers, Brewers. We hammered out the Brewers pretty good. You have anything you want to add to the Dodgers, or should we?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, so back to my list. At the top of my list here and moving down towards the bottom, we got Alek Manoah. He's only thrown 40 innings pitched so far this season, which is not a whole lot, but he was only drafted in 2019. I don't know his innings pitched totals when he was in college there, but you know, he's a grand total in his minor league career leading up to this season, only 35 innings pitched. And then, of course, you know, all of these guys – no, excuse me, not all of these guys, these young guys, these guys that were not at the major league level last year, they all threw innings at the alternate site last year. Well, not even that. I'm sorry. I've screwed this one up good. Not all of them, but a lot of these top pitchers, such as Alek Manoah, were at the alternate site throwing innings. So it's not like these guys were all sitting at home last year either. So 2020 doesn't count for nothing. But at the same time, Alek Manoah, 40 innings pitched and then just not a whole lot of innings on that arm. I think he's probably in the clear to just finish out the season there when he comes back from injury. I think he's due back like this year, right, Matty?
Yeah, and he's an absolute workhorse. He's had 108 innings thrown in college. And then he was asked, actually, I believe there was a game this year where his pitch count went north of 100, pitches, and people were asking, well, how did you feel? Were you okay with over 100 innings pitched, or I'm sorry, pitches thrown in this game. And he asked the beat reporter afterwards in a confident manner. He said, "Did you watch me pitch in college?" And the reporter said, "No." And he said that he would top out at like 120, 130 pitches in a game in college. So I thought that that was pretty interesting to see from him. So with the amount of innings pitched that he's thrown this year, you mentioned the 40, I think with the remainder part of the season, if he's able to go once he comes back, I think they're going to let him go.
Okay. Okay. That sounds, that's good. I think that about covers it. Cupfully, you want to add on him, or if not, do you want to talk about, let's see, we got Shane.
What about the here. Matt had, he had the A's listed with Chris Bassitt and Cole Irvin, Sean Manaea, Frankie Montas.
Yeah, they're down the list.
You want to dive in there, Matt?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the biggest thing for me that sticks out with those guys is they've let their starters go pretty deep. They've got four of the top 27 arms in Major League Baseball. You know, I think a guy like Bassitt, I think, is going to be fine. He's thrown a decent amount of innings. You know, historically in his career, he had 140. So not the most, but the ones I'm probably a little bit curious to get your guys' opinion on, or if you have a strong take or not. You know, guys like Frankie Montas, who's been up and down from a performance perspective. You know, he's seen some oscillation in his innings. Sean Manaea has been a beast, but obviously, you know, he's been going back and forth from a production perspective, been really good lately, but he's a former Tommy John surgery candidate that he had. And then Cole Irvin is 18th in Major League Baseball in innings. And he doesn't necessarily have that pedigree. So I don't know. What are you guys thinking? Are you concerned at all about any of those arms? Can they chase down the Astros? There's a lot of young arms that have not put a ton of tread on those tires in the past.
Well, the good thing is Chris Bassitt's 32. So let's start with him. I think with that age and where they're at, I think that they're just going to let him go. And then with Sean Manaea, we've seen previous seasons where he has hit 160 plus innings pitched, and he has been on an absolute tear. So I think that they're going to let him go. Montas is interesting with 96 innings pitched. I mean, he's already surpassed that. So he's at 112 now. I don't know. Maybe they do look to scale him back, but maybe they don't. Maybe they just let him go as well, because if the Brewers are saying we're going to let this guy go 100 innings pitched more than, you know, previous season or whatnot, that would put Montas at 153. So he'd have about 40 to 50 innings pitched. I don't see them tapering back on Montas. He is 28 years old. It's kind of a get off the pot situation with Oakland. He's been there since 2017. Now he's a free agent in a couple of seasons. So maybe they just let him ride.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think Oakland's interesting because they do have the playoffs to look at there. I think they're going to try and make a trade maybe for a bat. So they've got their eyes on the playoffs. Maybe not chasing down the Astros, but at least trying to get in like in a wild card situation there, coming out of the AL West. Montas, like you said, he's the one. He's already at a career high, but you know, he's not young. He's built like a football player. Yeah. I don't know how much that plays into it, but it feels like it could be worth something there. So looking at those other guys, Cole Irvin, you know, Irvin threw 160 innings pitch in 2018. So he's been stretched out before. I'm a little less worried about him. Bassitt, kind of the same thing, 144 innings, 2019. So I think, you know, they're going to ride Bassitt. Maybe they won't let him go out there and try and throw eight innings like he's done a couple times already this season. Maybe they you know, scale him back a little bit there. And then Sean Manaea, kind of same thing with Montas. He's probably going to get to a career high in innings, but not going to be enough. So interesting situation in Oakland, but I think overall, I think we're kind of good there. Young guys that are impactful arms that I think we're going to see, or we could see a little bit there. Shane McClanahan, 65 innings pitched, but he did throw 120 innings in 2019. So looking at that, I don't even think they really need to hold him back, and he could still be available in the playoffs if you're, you know, especially if you're talking about like you guys have been, you know, like what the Brewers are doing, adding 100 innings pitched there. So him, even Luis Patino is probably somebody, you know, he's only thrown 55 innings pitched. He's been in and out this season. And I think maybe that's part of it. They're kind of ramping him back up and reintroducing him to the rotation so that he could be a part of it for the rest of the season. So I'm not super worried about there. If you guys have anything to add with Tampa Bay, let's do that. Otherwise, I think we can talk real quick about Detroit.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm good there. And then with Dylan Cease, I know you want to talk about Detroit, but with Dylan Cease real quick, I see him highlighted. I actually don't really have concerns about him as either. He, in 2019, he went 140 innings. So somebody that's thrown that many previously, I'm not going to be concerned with, especially somebody that's young and healthy like Cease. But moving on to Detroit.
Well, and on Dylan Cease, I mean, something to note, 141 innings pitched. Like you had mentioned, 2019, plus there's like a spring training in there. Like he's been through a whole season before, right? So I think that's a good point. I'm with you there. Casey Mize, I mentioned a little bit earlier, he's already been limited. He's going out there. He's throwing four innings pitched. He doesn't have those ratios like Freddie Peralta, like Corbin Burns. You know, those guys, if they're going to throw four innings pitched, I think you're still going to probably, you know, keep them active in your lineups and stuff like that. Casey Mize, I dropped him when they started going four innings with him. He's been solid this year. Good year for him. And, you know, maybe next year is a real breakout form or whatever. But his ratios weren't good enough for me to hold on to him. Tarik Skubal is at 100 innings pitched in his previous career high is 122. I think maybe he could be limited a little bit in September there. He could just kind of finish out. I mean, if he gets to 160 innings pitched that this year, that's probably okay. So that's kind of where I am on Detroit. Do you guys have anybody you want to add to the list for the Tigers, or should we go and talk about the Angels?
I think with Skubal, I think he could be similar to Julio Urias, where we've seen him get to 120-plus innings pitched and potentially maybe he only gets 50 more. So instead of getting the 30 per month down the season, maybe he's at about 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Matt Manning? I mean, they're starting to roll him out again. I think that he's already somewhat built to go. And he's only thrown 33 innings pitched this year. So potentially I think that he could get more burn on the opposite side of things because he's thrown in 2019, he threw 134 innings pitched. So I think that he has some actually room for more innings pitched down the stretch.
Yeah. I'm with you on Manning. My only problem there is, you know, man,
good.
I don't want him. I don't want him. Throwing innings or not, I don't want him. So, yeah. So as far as the Angels are kind of interesting. I don't know how much time we want to spend on Ohtani. I mean, obviously he's amazing. Every day you open up Twitter in the morning and you probably missed something that amazing that he did the night before, unless you're on the left coast and you can stay up late and hear about those things or watch them live. He's at 80 innings pitched. I think a lot of people are probably using him though, as a bat in the utility spot. I know I am in the league that I have him. So he is over a career high as far as innings pitched, as far as the United States goes. I think he threw a decent amount of innings in Japan though. So I'm not super worried about him, but Patrick Sandoval is somebody that's interesting. I've added him in some spots. And then of course he almost threw a no hitter over the weekend with 13 strikeouts. He is at 71 innings pitched so far this season, and his previous career high, he's kind of done like 120 innings in a season in 2019 and 2018 back then. So I'm not super worried about Sandoval. What are you guys thinking on Sandoval?
No worries.
Yeah, I don't have any at all. I actually love the guy with that changeup. I'm a total believer.
Yeah, with only 72 innings pitched, and he's had a previous of 120, you can add on top of that if he's healthy and ready to go.
Plenty of room.
Plenty of room to grow. I thought one of the last things let's do this as our last thing to close out, and it's a little bit different scenario here, and that's with somebody like Marcus Stroman and David Price. And I do believe that both of them they're in the same bucket, but in different ones at the same time. So Stroman and David Price both sat out all of 2020, but both Marcus Stroman and David Price in their previous seasons have been workhorses. Both of them have thrown north of 200 innings pitched. Now, Last year, though, neither of them threw anything. So how do we gauge each individual? Well, each are different because Marcus Stroman is at 117 innings pitched this year, and David Price isn't anywhere near that. But the odd part is David Price is now getting stretched out to become more and more increased in that volume department for innings pitched. So it's interesting to see that, yes, neither of them pitched last year. Both of them were previous workhorses. David Price is only at 40 innings pitched. I think he can go until his arm falls off with the Dodgers. And then in regards to Marcus Stroman, the Mets are so desperate and in dire need to win this division. And they need him right now with Jacob DeGrom on the IL. Carlos Carrasco's coming back. That's nice. But I don't think that Noah Syndergaard is going to be a thing this year. So with him at 116 innings pitched, I wanted to ask you guys, or it's 116 and two-thirds, so 117 if you want to round up. I want to ask you guys, where are you at on Marcus Stroman? I personally think they just let him roll. But I wanted to ask you guys that because Matt was the one that highlighted that, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I want to see what Kupferle has to say about that. I'm with you. He's got the history of throwing a lot of innings. So I could see them just, you know, they're pushing for the playoffs there. You know, Matt, where are you at on Stroman?
I think they're going to let him roll as well. It's just taking an entire year off is the red flag for me. And he's basically, you know, been going since day one, like Maddie said. So I could see a slight pullback, but for all the reasons that you listed, and until I see Carlos Carrasco healthy and on a mound, he's an arm that they've got to rely on to try to hold on to this NL East lead. I don't think they have any other choice.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. They're making that playoff push there. So, you know, David Price, you know, good points on him. He's being reintroduced to the rotation. I think this is all working out perfectly to plan for the Dodgers, to be honest. I know he didn't start out the season in the rotation, and it was a little bit surprising there, but, you know, they're kind of ramping him back up because, you know, of course he threw 250 innings in 2014 or whatever. But, you know, he didn't pitch last year. David Price didn't pitch in 2019. He only threw 107 innings pitch and a little bit limited in the 2 years previous to that. So I think they're being a little bit careful with David Price, and I think it's paying off. He's got his velocity is about where it was, you know, last time when he won a Cy Young there. So maybe it's going to pay off for the Dodgers in the end. I think things are going to work out for him as far as David Price goes. Looking at our list, I'm seeing Logan Gilbert for Seattle, 61 innings pitched. He's thrown 124 before. I don't think that they're going to limit him a whole bunch. Yusei Kikuchi, I think he's fine. You know, Taylor McGill is one guy. He's at 70 innings pitched, and he's thrown only 70 before. So I know he's been a popular ad, you know, lately. So maybe you know, maybe he's somebody you want to keep an eye on there. And then lastly, I've got three guys here that are interesting that could be limited here. So I'm going to ask if you've got any interest in doing anything with these three guys. They all feel like they could be in the same bucket there. Albert Alzolay for Chicago, 88 innings pitched for him so far. JT Brubaker for the Pirates is at 96 innings so far. And then Tyler Molly for Cincinnati's at 105 innings pitched. All very useful guys, all guys whose numbers are kind of tailing off a little bit towards the end of the season here. Do we have anything interesting do we want to note on those three guys?
Molly looks gassed out. His last, I know command's been a problem with him in the past, and it has been pretty much throughout the season, except for when he went on a nice little roll in the mid part of, you know, end of May and June. But in his last four outings, he's allowed 15 walks and it's on, I believe, 11 earned runs. So yeah, it looks like he's tapering off quite a bit, and he hasn't maxed out past six innings pitched since June 5th.
Yeah, my only tidbit was going to be, I think the Cubs are going to be in full rebuild mode. You know, I don't know that they let Alzolay necessarily go deep, so I could see him getting, you know, maybe tapered a bit back because I think they want him as a big part of 2022.
Yeah, and Brubaker's thrown 156 innings pitched, although it's 3 years ago, so maybe he's not at a whole lot of risk there. So,
they've been scaling him back. I have exposure to him in the main event, so I've been watching closely. His last two outings, three and two-thirds, and then four innings pitched. So they've definitely done it. And in that Giants, the outing against the Giants, his previous one. The pitch count was, he was pretty efficient and he was actually effective. He was 4 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts, only 1 walk, and they yanked him regardless. So
yeah, I have him a lot as well.
I'm cutting him in leagues that I've, if I still have him, I'm no longer going to be using him. He's not going to get you a win on the Pirates team that's selling. And then on top of that, he's not going deep enough.
I think that about covers these guys limiting innings at the major league level here. I was kind of trying to think about this. Maybe there's any relievers that kind of fit this mold. Guys that Michael Kopech for the White Sox. I tried to think about it. I couldn't come up with anybody. So I figured I'd at least throw the question out there. Do we have any relief pitchers that we think might be getting limited in any kind of way?
No limitations. I think that there could be more opportunities for them to come in and gobble up a win. If people are getting scaled back to 4 innings, whoever's pitching that 5th or 6th inning, then maybe you're going to find some sort of similarity or a pattern, you know, with some of these rotations. And if you notice a guy's coming in each and every time, I think like for a while there, we were seeing King piggyback Dunning when Dunning was only going 4 innings. And then you look at King and he's racking up a couple wins here and there, even though it's on the Texans. So if you start to notice some patterns like that occurring, I mean, is there somebody good that's going to come in right after JT Brubaker if Brubaker's only going 4? So look for that, you know, kind of grab a microscope and look at what teams are doing, how many innings pitched these guys are getting. And then if somebody's following them every 5 days, then maybe you want to add that guy.
I like it. Cupfer, you got anything you want to add here, or should we close this one out?
I'm good. Let's close it up.
Buttons awesome. Up. Well, yeah, this was fun. Thanks for joining us and thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. Give us a rating and a review. You can follow myself on Twitter @_MattyWood_. You can follow Brock on Twitter @BrocknessMonster. And you can follow Matt Cupferly at Twitter @MCupferly. I think that I want to come back and do a live stream sometime this weekend, though, to cover the trade deadline, if that works out with you guys. We can have people interact with us on Twitter, maybe even have some special guests, and then I can rip the audio and we can put it on a podcast.
Sounds good.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with the two Matts. Please rate, subscribe, and review the podcast, and we hope you listen again soon.